Good morning. My name is Brian, and I am excited to be here this morning with you guys. We're starting to see glimpses of the new season of moving into fall. And I got to be honest with you, generally, the fall is the time that I get excited about the fall, or most of the time I get excited about fall. I love the summer. I love the sun. It is much needed to be spending our time outside getting vitamin D is significant for me and my family. But it's also, there's just something about when the weather changes and you get to, you know, break out the sweatshirts and break out the winter clothes or getting to start. There's always, the fall to me signifies there's something new happening. And for my family, it's school is a big part of the new year. This is a weird one for me this year because I'm not starting school with my students like I've done for the last 3 years. Instead, I'm here, and which is new as well. And it's new to be doing this job, but fall for me has just been something that I anticipate, I look forward to. It's also really busy. Like, it is really busy. It seems like all of the projects that I've put off through the summer because the sun was out, and it's like, well, I could choose to do this today, or I could go for a walk up at the lake, or like I need to fix my backyard. I need to fix the fence. Or we can go get ice cream and hang out and enjoy the sun because we know it's fleeting. And so we'll get to those projects later. And then we get to the fall and those projects hit us on top of just everything else that's happening. And then we start scrambling because we're like, oh, I got to get the fence fixed before it starts raining. Before I can't work on those projects anymore. And we begin to just feel that anxiety and that tension of busyness. And for a lot of the families here that have kids that are in school or that you work in a school, it adds a whole nother level of kind of anxiety or stress and busyness. And it was funny because as I was preparing for this morning, I wanted to move us into this new series called You're Invited, kind of talking about, like, what are we invited into? Like, what are we invited into when we talk about coming to church or coming to Jesus? What are we invited into? We have been focused on this deeper life and mission, the idea of what happens when we encounter God in a deeper way, how it changes us from the inside and then moves us into a mission that is centered on him. But then it led me to the question is like, okay, but what is he really inviting us into? And so I was prepping for this talk and I go, I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed this week. And I was gone for a couple weeks. We had a trip as a family into Colorado Springs, and then not this week, but the week before, Evan and I had a chance to go to Pittsburgh for a training for churches that are in kind of similar phases of life as we are, and it was an incredible time, but it was a week-long trip. We got back late on a Thursday night, really late, and I think it was like almost midnight when we rolled in, and after spending basically all day long together just kind of dreaming about church and ministry and work and life and what God's inviting us into next. And we're having these conversations. It was really good. And then I come back to this week and I am slammed. My daughter started school this week. Some haven't started school on the east side of town, but on the west side here, they've been in school, and my daughter started school. She tried out for volleyball, so she's on the volleyball team. She's doing karate. I'm trying to get my work caught up on the work that I wasn't doing for those 2 weeks that now I'm trying to get caught up because we're moving into the fall. My wife's busy. Our life is busy. We haven't done anything around the house for several weeks. And so it was funny because as I was prepping for like, what is God inviting me into? I remember the question I was going, I don't want to be invited into what God's asking because I am feeling overwhelmed. And I just felt like the harder I was working, I couldn't shake this feeling this week. The harder I tried to stay on top of things and, okay, well, I'm gonna work on house projects today, this afternoon. I'm gonna get home, I'm gonna do it, and then I'd get a phone call and I'd have to take the phone call. Or something else would come up. Or my daughter called me and like, I need you to come to the school. And I was like, okay, I drop everything and I head to the school. Or I had a parent meeting that I didn't know I had, that was planned. It was things, every time I thought I was getting ahead this week, something would happen and I would get, and I would fall behind, and I would just go, man, this is, I'm already exhausted, and this is literally the first week of school for my daughter and for us as a family, and I'm going, we have a whole year of this? And as I was thinking about that, and I was, the weight of that was starting to come on me, as well as, man, I've got so much that I need to do at the church. I should be working on my talk right now. I should be meeting with Evan and talking about next steps. I should be meeting with the other leaders and volunteers and, oh man, we got to get the gates set up in the front. And all of these things started coming into my mind, all of these shoulds. Have you ever had the shoulds? I should be doing this right now. I have a spiritual director, close friend of mine that I've spent years with, and his thing is like, the shoulds are not from Jesus. Shoulds are, he's like, that's like a form of like, you should be putting a dollar in a cuss jar kind of a thing. If you start a sentence with, I should be doing this, you probably need to check that, because the shoulds can take over our life. This week I'm wrestling with the shoulds, and I'm wrestling with, like, God, like, what more do you want from me? I don't have more to give. But the real question, it's already up on the screen, is what is God inviting me into? And so as I was sitting there Friday and I'm trying to prep for this talk, I paused and I took a deep breath and I was like, oh, this story's for me. So you get to join me as I unpack this for you, but also more for myself. This is kind of you're gonna get a little insight. This is like a vlog where I'm just gonna talk about what God's doing in my own life, and you get to walk with me. So we're gonna read together out of the story of Mary and Martha. And the story of Mary and Martha goes beyond just this passage in Luke. But we're gonna focus on the passage in Luke and then kind of hear the rest of their story as well, how it kind of plays out. But I think this story, the story has been a good reminder for me of what God is actually inviting us into, especially when we feel overwhelmed. So let's read this together. It's Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, so it's not real long. It says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister, Mary, sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Just to give you a little bit of a backstory, Mary and Martha, they're sisters. They live in the town of Bethany. They're They're close friends. We find out in scripture that they're in the Bible that they are close friends with Jesus. They have a brother. His name is Lazarus. He's kind of famous in the Bible. He was raised from the dead by Jesus. And so they're followers of Jesus. They're friends of Jesus. And so Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he had sent his disciples out earlier to go and prepare the way. So he had told them, go out into the cities. Go out in front of me as you make your way to Jerusalem. Let people know I'm coming. So people were kind of already on the know that, like, hey, Jesus is making his way. And so he's stopping along the way in these villages, in these areas, and he's hanging out with people, and he's basically teaching the disciples. It's an opportunity for him before he gets to Jerusalem to kind of just share, this is the vision of what the kingdom is going to look like going forward. And so when he enters into Bethany, it makes sense that Martha, who is in the family hierarchy, she is probably the eldest child. They're not married, but they all live together. They have a house, which is significant, like they can host all of the disciples so they can have them. So she's anticipating. They're anticipating Jesus' arrival to Bethany. So when Jesus gets there, Martha runs out and she's like, come to my house. Come, you know, like a huge honor. Come hang out with us. I love this story, but it's a hard one. Because I feel like Martha a little bit. I like to think that Martha is the faithful servant who spirals. So she's committed to serving Jesus. She's committed to do what's asked of her. She's trying to do the right things. And yet, like, as she's doing that, she is feeling the weight and of trying to get to juggle all the plates, to get all the work done. And the result is that she kind of goes into this spiral that we see happen in this story. Because the reality is on paper, she's doing everything that's right. In that time period, the expectation is that the women are the hosts. The expectation is that, like, her job would be to, if you're going to invite somebody into your home, you better be making food for them. You better be preparing the house for them. The expectation is that, yes, the teacher's come. The teacher's going to be doing his thing with the disciples. We're going to be doing our thing as the women, as the hosts, as the women in the house. That's what we're going to do. So it's confirmed in scripture. Like, scripture supports this idea that service is good. 1 Peter 4:9 and Romans 12:6 talk about the fact that serving is a spiritual gift that we're given. So she's leaning in to what her gifts are. And yet she gets made out as the villain in this a lot. I don't think she's the villain. I think she's a faithful servant who just spiraled. I think she gets caught up in what the expectations are for her. On what the expectations are to open your home, to be a host. In Luke 10:40, it said that Martha was distracted by all the preparation. I looked up the word distracted, and as I read it, it hit me harder this week as I was just thinking about my week. It was drawn away, driven about mentally, over-occupied, pulled in different directions. Does that, anybody identify with those thoughts? Like, I was like, yep, uh-huh, yep, I am distracted. And for Martha, the distraction led to judgment, right? Don't you care that my sister isn't helping me right now? That I have to do all the work myself? So now she's looking at the people around her and she's like, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're not doing what she's judging. And what do we know? Like Jesus corrects us when it comes to justice. Like that's what we think justice is, right? Like we think justice is that people need to be doing what I think they should be doing. But Jesus' justice is way different than that. Jesus' justice is about restoring, about fixing something that was broken, about taking what should be and turning it into what is, which is the fact that we were separated from the Father. And that our justice, the justice that should happen for us, is that we should be eternally separated from God. But it was because of God's justice, of who Jesus is and his character and his love for us, that he took that justice and he put it on the cross. He died for our sins. He was buried and rose again and conquered sin and conquered death so that the justice, the should, turned into what is right, what is just, which is restoring us back to the Father. That's the justice that we should be focused on. But when we get distracted, when we get overwhelmed, when we get frustrated, our mind goes to, look at what I'm doing and why isn't other people doing the same thing and helping me? That distraction for her, that sense of judgment that she was passing on to Mary was leading to her feeling alone. Tell her to help me. I'm on my own right now. We can feel overwhelmed. We can feel distracted. We start to get judgmental. We start to feel alone. Where's God right now? God, why aren't you? And then we don't feel seen. Don't you care? Don't you care, God? I'm busting my tail right now, trying to do all of the right things. You don't seem to care. Martha is in a deep spiral, and it's one that it repeats often for me, where I start off with intentions of like, okay, I'm focused where I need to be focused. I'm good. I've got a plan. And it's like, we all have a plan until you get hit in the face, right? Like that's the famous fighting quote, like everybody has a plan until you get hit in the face. So as soon as something happens and we get distracted, the plans go out the window, and all of a sudden we find ourselves back in the same kind of spiral. I love Jesus' response to Martha. First, let me just acknowledge the fact that I do think Martha had a great relationship with Jesus, because Martha, what did she do? She went to Jesus. She was bold. She stood up in front of Jesus and just called it out. Like, I'm struggling here. Like, help me. And Jesus met her. He didn't condemn her. He didn't tell her she was, he corrected, but his correction was simple, and I think it was gentle. He just opens with, my dear Martha. That's a term of affection. That's a term of understanding. It was in that moment where he's just connecting with her. It's like putting your arm around somebody. There were times I watched my daughter this week as she was struggling through just trying to get all of her stuff done and just kind of adjusting to being in the seventh grade. And there was just a lot going on. And all I wanted to do is just, I couldn't wait to get home and just put my arms around her and just hold her. And I was like, my dear Megan, I love you. And while this feels like a short response by Jesus, I think a lot was said when he said, and some translation says, Martha, Martha. Like, it's just like, I hear you. I see you. I feel what you're feeling right now. And then he tells her what he's inviting her into. Because Jesus came and changed the world, right? He came to flip things and turn things kind of upside down, to restore things back to what the original intent was, back when God created man and woman in the Garden of Eden. That was separated because of sin, because they had turned their back on God. The story in the Bible, are all about pointing to this idea that we want to be drawn back and restored to what God has called us to from the very beginning. And so Jesus comes and he's like, everything you think is important, everything you think is the shoulds in the world become about God's presence. What he's inviting her back into is his presence. He says, when you're invited into my presence, you're protected from feeling overwhelmed by expectations, whether they're from yourself or from others. How often are when we stop and we start looking at those things that are expectations in our life, that where we're feeling like all of this like overwhelmedness of like, I have all these tasks to do, all these things that are expected of me. How much of those are actually coming from people outside of your world, from your bosses, your employers, from friends? How much of it is put on from yourself? I should be doing this. No one told you to do it, but this is the right thing to do. This is what it looks like to be a good father. This is what it looks like to be a good mother. We start putting expectations on us, and Jesus is saying, no, the only expectation is to come into my presence. Because when you're in my presence, I'm with you when all of this is happening. I love Matthew 11:28. It has been a verse that at times in my life when I have been in this spiral, I come back to. And there's, I think every translation that I've come across, there's a different thing I glean from it. I love the Message rendition of it at the best. But let's read it. It's on the screen. It says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Are you tired, worn out? That could just be life, right? That's just trying to get through work. That's trying to get through exercise. That's trying to get through being a parent. That's trying to take care of your house and your responsibilities. Burned out on religion. That one's a hard one. Like, man, I'm going through all the motions, spending time in the Bible. I'm going to church on Sunday. I'm participating, doing what I think I'm supposed to do as a Christian, as a Christ follower. But man, this religion thing is tough. Jesus just says, "Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest." And then here's the invitation that I love, because he says, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Let's look at Mary in this story. We're almost wrapped up here, but what did Mary do? Jesus comes into their home. Mary sits at Jesus' feet. That's a place for the disciples. In the Bible, when it talks about disciples, it talks about people who are following a teacher, following a rabbi. When they are focused and intent and trying to learn, a sign of respect and honor is to sit at the feet of your teacher. It's significant that Mary, her first instinct is to sit. She's a disciple. She acknowledges the power of Jesus. She's going to start there. Nothing else. This is where she's going to start, is at the feet of Jesus. I love that invitation to sit at Jesus' feet. She was eager to learn. And here's what she understood. Is she understood that in order to know what she was being invited into, she first had to sit at the foot of the teacher. She first had to spend time with Jesus. It's John 15:5. It's the I am the vine and you are the branches. The vine is Jesus, the Father. The branches are us. And that we need to remain connected first to the vine if we're going to produce fruit. So if we're going to go and do work, if we're going to do what God's calling us to, we have to be connected to the vine. That's what Mary was doing. She was connecting herself to Jesus first. And we see later in the book of John, as Jesus is continuing his ministry and he's getting to a point where it's getting close to his death, and there's an understanding, like the disciples have been taught on this, like that his death is coming, that he's going to die on the cross for the sins of the world, that he's going to, that's going to happen. We see Martha in a different dinner come in front of Jesus with an incredibly expensive perfume. And she uses it to anoint Jesus' feet. She washes Jesus' feet with this fluid. And it's a perfume. It's made of, one of the main elements in it is nard. It's something that has to be preserved. It's very expensive. It has to be preserved in a jar. It's sealed. So once you open it, you don't use it again. You break the jar open and it's used once and only once. And it's generally intended for the purposes of preparing a body for a burial. And so we see, like, Martha wasn't called to not act or to not work, but Martha first, because she had spent time with Jesus, the work that she was called, she knew when it was time to do the work she was called to do. That's kind of the difference. It's not God calling us to inaction. God is calling us to him so that we can experience a new way of living. It's the order in which we do things. We go to God first, then we act. Martha grew in this. She still struggled. For most of us, performance and doing is always going to be a struggle. We live in a world right now where we are told that you need to do more. There's expectations in our world. We put expectations on ourselves. We get asked to serve in church. We get asked to serve in our communities. Our kids are involved in sports and activities and after-school programs, and we just have all of these responsibilities. So performance is something that we're always going to be challenged with, expectations and performance. And so most of us are more like Martha. I actually think Mary probably was like Martha, but she got it earlier and she was the example. But most of us fall into that Martha. Martha later, when we see in John chapter 11, when Lazarus dies, when her brother dies and Jesus comes into town, her first thing is to go to Jesus first. She doesn't know how he's going to fix it, but she knows he's there for a purpose. Like, he's come, I can go to him, and she just goes to him boldly. So she may still struggle with that performance spiral, And let me tell you, performance drains, faithfulness sustains. When we're faithful in spending time with God, He sustains us through things that are hard, through challenges, through those feelings of being overwhelmed. I want to dispel a quick myth, and then we're going to kind of wrap up. The myth is this, is spending time at the feet of Jesus isn't an easy answer or an easy road. I think I've heard people talk about this story, and they look at, like, it's not practical to be Mary. Like, she wasn't working. She wasn't doing what she was supposed to be doing. Like, I don't have time to give, to just sit around and not do anything and just sit and read my Bible and listen to worship music all day. And that's an easy out. Like, I'm not gonna do work. The myth is that it's less work to spend time with God. I think that's a myth. It's not less time. It's understanding that how can we go ahead of what God is doing? How can we decide this is the right thing to do, and instead go, I am going to spend time first with God so that He is the one that's leading my steps. So He is the one that's in front of me, or He is the one that's inviting me to partner with Him in what I'm doing. It's not less work. It's actually just more efficient work. Have you ever seen, I was going to do it, and then I just thought it was a lot to prepare. I was overwhelmed this week. But have you ever seen the analogy where someone takes a jar and they've got rocks of different sizes that kind of represent all, like, the things that are significant and most important to us? It's our family, it's God, it's our relationship with Jesus. Those are like the big rocks. And then there's there's like another jar that's full of sand that represents everything else that we have to do. And the analogy is generally we try to do everything we're supposed to do, all of those shoulds. We take that jar and we dump it in and we fill the jar up and it will be almost full. And then we go to put the things that are important in, the rocks, all of those things that we say, this is the things that are most important to us. And we put them into the jar and it doesn't fit. And so then the person who's doing the illustration takes everything out, holds the jar, and first puts the thing that's most important in. Puts the big rocks, puts the family, puts Jesus, spending time with God, and then takes the other things, and what you end up finding is they still all fit. Actually, everything fits. Nothing gets spilled out. And it's the exact same amount of work. It's the exact same amount of priorities. But we spend so much time, it's so easy that when we start getting busy, or we start getting overwhelmed, our instinct is to drop the thing that's most important and come back to it later. I'll spend time with God later. I need to get this done first. And then it just becomes overwhelming and we start the spiral, the Martha spiral. So how do we respond? As we think about what God is inviting us to, let me just ask us three questions. I put these as me questions, but what is motivating me right now? What is motivating you right now? Are you doing the work that you're doing out of love and response to God's invitation? Or are you doing it because you're trying to prove yourself? Are you trying to earn approval from others? Are you trying to fulfill obligations? Is your motivation right now full of the shoulds? The The second one is, am I spending time in God's presence? Before I jump into those things, am I first connecting myself to the vine? And then, you know, what does it look like to spend intentional time in this presence this week? Like, let's not try to over plan. Let's not try to tack on a bunch more work. Instead, what's one way that it could look like for me to spend time in God's presence this week and just commit to that? Maybe it's starting your morning before you get your coffee or while you get your coffee and just saying, I'm going to give myself 5 minutes before I start. I'm going to give myself 10. What would intentional time in his presence look like? And then the third thing is, what is God inviting me into this next season? Maybe we need to cut something out. I look at Martha and I see somebody who's doing good things, right? Like, she is doing things that are honoring to God and to Jesus. She's serving and she's working and she's honoring him by opening her home and taking care of those responsibilities. All of those tasks, all of those projects, they're good, and we can get caught up in doing a lot of good things, but not God's things for us, not the things that God is inviting us into. And so sometimes we have to just look at, man, maybe I need to take something away, or maybe I need to step out into something new, but we don't know that unless we evaluate and we spend time doing that. We're gonna transition to a time of worship. I'm gonna invite the worship team back up. Which, by the way, before I forget, like, it is awesome. We have a full band this weekend, which is amazing. We have a new member that joined us this weekend, Caleb. He's Evan's nephew. And is actually stationed at JBLM. And so he drove down just to drum for us. So that's awesome. And, you know, and as Evan and I were talking about this week, I was struck by how amazing, you know, the song choices are in tying into this idea of what does it look like for us to be invited into God's presence. And so as we go to worship this morning, I just want to encourage you to take a minute before you go to the communion table or just where you're sitting, just to continue to process. Could you put those three questions up again real quick? Those three questions. God isn't asking you to do more to earn his love. God loves you for who you are. God is inviting you to first come into his presence. I want to just close us as we go to worship with the Matthew 11 passage again and kind of pray that over us, because it is an invitation to say, come walk with me. I love that, because it's just come and rest. Sometimes we just need that. And even if it's just right now in this moment as we get ready to prepare to go to communion, maybe you just are invited to just rest with God. Maybe for some of us in this room, we're still sitting here going, man, I'm just struggling with life in general. I'm struggling with, you know, trying to overcome addiction. I'm trying to overcome just frustration at work, what other people are doing. Struggling with finances, struggling with just trying to get through the day. And God seems really far off. And so maybe God's just inviting you to come back to him and just rest. And again, for a lot of us, it could just be that in those moments when we start feeling overwhelmed and we start feeling like God, like we're spiraling, that we begin to learn that that's an invitation from God to sit back at his feet, to be in his presence, to realign ourselves so that instead of walking in front of God, we're walking with God next to us. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Let's worship together.